Eleanor Roosevelt is quoted as saying, "One's philosophy is not best expressed in words. It is expressed in the choices one makes." I think we certainly all understand that the choices that we make in life and in ministry will have a profound impact upon our lives and upon the direction that we take. And quite honestly, the most important of all choices that we make on a day-to-day basis revolves around what we do with the Lord Jesus Christ and how we relate to our God. You and I today live in a society where many have lost their way. We live in a society of people who are directionless. They are simply going with the flow of the culture. They live their lives with very little passion, with very little fervor. We seem to have no idea what we are doing or why we are doing it. We don't know where we're going. We just know no matter where we're heading, somehow we just want to be happy. But we don't even know what it is that will make us happy or how we're even going to be fulfilled. We just live a directionless life. You know, the sad reality is that that description, as we have given, could speak to the lost as it does to those who are saved. Too many Christians go through this life with very little pursuit of anything. They float along the waves of life, hoping that one day they will end in the right destination. These realities of this kind of living have really surfaced in my mind over the recent months, and tonight I want to begin to look at a series of messages I'm going to entitle Desire for the Holy, Choosing the Path that Leads to God. Tonight I want to begin with this short series by considering together the thought of our pursuing after God. I want you to bow with me. We're going to ask the Lord's blessing through a word of prayer, and then we're going to take up our topic tonight. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight that we can come to you, we can come to your word, and through this word we can find direction for life, we can find passion and fervor, a reason for living. Father, Lord, there are too many today who simply are floating along hoping that they make out okay and somewhere along the way they'll be happy. Not even sure what it is that will make them happy or fulfill their lives, but they just hope they'll be okay. Father, I believe your word gives us a passion, a direction, and a pursuit. And I pray, Father, tonight that you would help us to see our need to pursue after our God, to have the right passion of soul toward him. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for it. Bless us as we come to your word. And Lord, as we consider these thoughts tonight, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Within the fold of conservative Christianity, we are faced with the reality that there is a lack of stirring of people for the things of God and a lack of sustained growth within the church. In this modern day, we are faced with a hard task of fighting against the culture that is driven by possessions and not after a person. If you look around our world today, you will find that most people are driven by things. Materialism is the religion of our world today. We are pursuing possessions. We are not pursuing a person. But I believe tonight we need to understand that God would have us pursue after him. A.W. Tozer, in a book that he wrote entitled The Pursuit of God, makes the following statement. He says, "We live in an age of religious complexity. The simplicity which is in Christ is rarely found among us. In its stead are programs, methods, organization, and a world of nervous activities which occupy time and attention, but can never satisfy the longing of the heart. The shallowness of our inner experience, the hollowness of our worship, and that servile imitation of the world which marks our promotional methods all testify that we, in this day, know God only imperfectly, and the peace of God scarcely at all. I think that's a fair statement for the society in which we live today. And that statement was penned over 50 years ago. The reality is, we live in a day that many people do not understand, nor do they pursue after God. And you and I need to understand the importance of pursuing Him. In that same section of the book, he would go on to state that the reason for this problem within the church is our own lack of desire for God. We have adopted a spirit of complacency. We no longer pursue after the Lord. Yet we serve our God who longs for us to come unto Him. I hope you understand, our God wants to be wanted. He longs for our fellowship. He longs for us to come and to seek after Him and desire Him with all of our heart. As we begin tonight, I want you to understand a choice that we have to make. Now, as you study your Bible, I believe the study of the Bible reveals that there has always been a choice placed before the people of God and a result that is based upon that choice that's made. I've asked you to open to Joshua 24. I want you to be reminded of some of the choices that are made within the Bible, or the choices that are placed before us, because I think we have to face those same choices today. In Joshua 24, we understand that the people of God have been finally brought into the promised land. And now they are ready to possess that land. They are ready to receive their inheritance. They are ready to go now to these houses which they have not built, and vineyards which they have not planted, and to enjoy the blessings of that land that is flowing with milk and honey. And now that the battle is over, and now that they are to possess their land and go on with life, Joshua comes to them in Joshua 24 and verse 14 and 15, and he lays before them the choice that they have to make. He says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve." Joshua says, as you begin to possess this land, you have a choice. A choice of who you will serve. Will you serve the gods of this nation to whom we now possess their land? Or will you serve the only true God? But Joshua says, as you begin now to go out into life, choose your service. Who will you serve? You and I today have the right to make that decision. Who will we serve? Are we serving our God, or are we serving mammon? Are we seeking after the person of our God, or do we long for greater possession? Go to 1 Kings 18 for a moment. 1 Kings 18. In 1 Kings 18, we come to the days in which Ahab is king. Elijah has been called out of God to be a prophet to his people. The people of Israel had chosen whom they would serve. They were serving the god Baal. And Elijah is brought in that he would begin to give them again that choice to come back to God and serve Him. In 1 Kings chapter 18, we find Elijah now on Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal. And he lays before the people of God again a choice that's going to make all the difference in their lives. I want you to look with me, if you would, at verse 21. "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him." There's a choice. Who will you serve? Who are you going to seek after? Baal, which was a god that would drive us for our flesh, or will you now come and serve the one true God? But you can't have it both ways. You can't say we want to be the children of God and expect God to bless while we go after and serve Baal. How long halt ye between those opinions? Choose one over the other. Who be God, then serve him. That was Elijah's choice. That's what he said before the people of God. Continue on with me to the book of Jeremiah. I want you to look with me in chapter 2. The prophets of God had often put before the people of God a choice to serve and seek after God with all of their heart. Jeremiah, early in his ministry, in fact, in his first discourse, would have to disclose to the people of God the foolishness of their decision when they forsook the Lord and sought after that which would never satisfy. Look with me in Jeremiah chapter 2. Look with me beginning in verse 9. Wherefore I will plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. For pass over the isles of Chittim and see, and send unto Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there be such a thing. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are not yet gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Jeremiah comes to the people of God and says, you know what, I have to tell you the foolishness of your decision. In God there is the fountain of living waters. In God there is one, if you will drink, you will always be satisfied. And you have forsaken him to follow after that which you have carved out of stone. Cisterns designed to catch the rainwater. You would choose that stagnant pool of water over a fountain of living waters. He said, but the problem is you're so foolish that your cisterns can't even hold water because they're broken. But they had made their choice against Almighty God, a God who is able to satisfy. Turn with me now to the book of John in chapter 4. John chapter 4. Here we find the Lord Jesus dealing with the woman at the well. She had her form of religion as a Samaritan. She had her views. But the Lord Jesus confronts her now with a choice. She could drink of the physical well, for which she would thirst again. Or she could drink from him, the fountain of living waters. John chapter 4, verse 13 and 14. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of this water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. There's a choice. What will we pursue? That which we have created and that which appeals to the flesh? That which is our God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want you to turn over with me to the book of Philippians in chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3, beginning really in verse 8, Paul lays out to us the choice that he had made. Matter of fact, back up to verse 7. Paul says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things, but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Paul was willing to say, I am willing to give up all that this earth has to offer. That which would be gain to me, I will count it loss for Christ, that I might win Him, that I might know Him. His pursuit was God and the person of God. You and I today need to understand that we have a choice. A choice must be made as to what we will pursue after. Will we pursue after the things of this earth? Or will we pursue after the person of our God? In Him we find delight. In Him we find joy. In Him we are satisfied. He is a fountain of living waters, and we will never thirst again. Why would we go after broken cisterns which hold no water? Why would we serve a God that is not a God? Why would we change the glory for that which is unprofitable? Why would we desire to rather serve Baal, who is no God, when we have before us the one God, true God, Jehovah God? There's a choice to be made, and then we need to make the right choice. One final thought I want you to consider with me this evening. I want to ask you the question is this: are you making the right choice? What are you pursuing after? I want you to turn with me to the book of Numbers this evening. Numbers chapter 18. Numbers chapter 18. I want you to see a verse with me tonight that the Lord has just kind of opened up to my mind and understanding over the last couple days. And maybe this verse won't speak as much to you as it does to me, but I find it to be a precious thought. In Numbers chapter 18, what we find is God dividing the promised land, giving to each tribe a portion. Their portion, their part, their inheritance. For each of the tribes, God was saying that this is your part of the land. It is yours to possess. But in Numbers 18 and in verse 20, He is speaking to Aaron and to the tribe of Levi, the priest. And I want you to notice what He says in the first part of that verse. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I want you to stop right there. You might read that and say, that doesn't seem to be all that fair. There were 12 tribes, and why doesn't Levi get a portion of land? Why don't they have a place for them to live? That doesn't seem just of God. God seems to be a little harsh on them. Everyone else gets a portion. Everyone else gets a part of the inheritance. Why not Levi? I want you to look at the second part. And folks, what I think you find in the second part of that verse is God gave them the greater portion. And that's what struck me this week. God says to them, I am thy part, and thine inheritance among the children of Israel. Understand what He just said? To Levi, to the priest, to those who would serve. It's not about the possession of the land. That's what I give to all the other tribes. To you, I give you me as your part and your inheritance. You know, as someone who's involved in full-time ministry, that strikes me. God is my part. He is mine inheritance. It's not the things of this earth. It's not possessions. It's a person. It's about Him. Does it matter what we own? Does it matter what we possess? Do those things really compare to the very God of heaven?
who says, I'll be your part. I'll be your inheritance. I'll be honest with you, there are some who just honestly frighten me in this day and age, in this generation. Because in all reality, we are living for the possessions, and we're missing completely the person of God. Instead of talking about our God, instead of talking about the person of who He is and the delight that He is to our soul, we are consumed with the things of this life. But God would say to Aaron, I am thy part, I am thine inheritance among the children of Israel. Let me ask you a question tonight. What portion would you desire? What are you pursuing after? Many within the people of Israel were very happy to go and take their parcel of land and to live. But Levi, to the priest, was given the Lord Himself. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ urged us to make a choice. He said, lay not up for yourself treasure upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Should we not, like the psalmist would say, to pursue after God? I want you to consider two final statements tonight from the book of Psalms. Turn with me to Psalm 42 this evening. Psalm 42. Our pursuit ought to be after God. He ought to be our delight. He ought to be our joy. Psalm 42, in verse 1 and 2, it says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? The psalmist says, I thirst, I long, I desire to be with God. To have Him. To be in His presence. When shall I come and appear before Him? My soul panteth for Thee. He desired the Lord and Him alone. Now turn to Psalm 63. I want you to look at verse 1 and also verse 8. Psalm 63, verse 1, it says, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Now look at verse 8. The psalmist says, my soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. My soul followeth hard after thee. This was one that was pursuing his God. He longed for his person and his presence. He desired, like Paul, to say that I might know Him, that I might experience His person. Why are we struggling within the realm of Christianity today? Why is it that we can go and seem to experience within the realm of religion nothing but shallowness and hollowness of worship? Because we have failed to pursue after God. We have failed to seek His face. We have failed to come that we might worship at His feet. We are going through the motions. We are very happy with the interpretation. We're very happy if the pastor does a good job and we kind of keep a track. He did pretty good today. That was pretty good. I could follow that along. That sort of makes sense. Good job. Thank you, pastor. And we walk out the door. You've got my approval today. Check. I did my service today. Check. You realize that you can come to church, you can come to Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and you can be here Wednesday night and be involved every time the doors are open and never once pursue God. You can be involved in the hollowness of religion. And we wonder why there's not a stirring of soul. Because sometimes, folks, we have flatly forgotten the reason we're here. It's the person of God. Beloved, that the choices we make will determine our final destination. They will determine our satisfaction and our joy. What will you choose to pursue after in these days? Will you be like so many who are seeking after the possessions of this earth? Or will we choose the right portion by choosing the right person, Jesus Christ? What a blessing it is to know that He is our portion and Him alone. He is our inheritance. We ought to pursue after our God. We live in a world today where people are consumed with possession. They are consumed with the things of this life. And it's not just the world around us. It's not just the lost, although that's all that they have. So that makes sense, does it not? If this life is all that you have, then the philosophy of getting all that you can get and enjoying all that you can enjoy makes sense. You ought to go get everything that you can get and enjoy everything that you can enjoy if this life is all that you have. The problem is there's so much more. And you and I know that. You and I have already come to Him. You and I have already been saved, and we have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. But like the people of Israel, sometimes we turn and we forsake Him, the fountain of living waters, for our hewed out cisterns, our broken cisterns that can hold no water. What we need today is a fresh pursuit of our God, to see Him and only Him, to understand that He is our satisfaction, that He is our joy, that He is our delight. There is no blessing in any other place, in any possession. It is in a person, the very person of our God. I trust that we tonight would have a heart and desire to pursue after the Lord. Let's pray together as we close.